You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 418 of Locked On Raptors for Thursday, November 15th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley, RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors, where you can find links to every single episode. And, of course, as always, make sure you're checking out the Locked On Podcast Network with team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams, all 32 NFL teams. We got Locked On College shows as well. We've got national NBA shows with Locked On Fantasy as well as Locked On NBA with weekly contributions over there from Ben Golliver and Sam Amick. On the NFL side, we've got Matt Williamson doing Locked On NFL with guest appearances by Mike Sando and Sage Rosenfels, among others, each week. So make sure you're checking all of those out. And if you find a show on the network that you like, please do the thing where you subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you get your podcast. Is extremely helpful, very nice to do considering it's free content that we're giving you. All we ask is that you leave a little rating or review, and it's very, very nice of you, and it makes us our jobs easier because it makes us more visible and discoverable and all that fun internet buzzwordy stuff. So yeah, please do that. Also, you can check out my Patreon page if you want. You can find premium podcasts over there for $5 a month or more. I'm not sure what I'm doing this week. It's kind of been a crazy busy week for work, but I'll get another one up by Sunday. And so stay tuned for that. And if you want to subscribe, you'll hear the most recent episode where myself and today's guest talked about the Raptor for like an hour, and it was great. And we talked about Crunch the Wolf a little bit as well, the sexy mascot for the Minnesota Timberwolves, among other things. And I guess we can introduce that guest now. Katie Heindel, how's it going?
Going good. Pretty freezing.
Yeah, it's snowing and terrible. I don't really mind like easing into snow. Like the little dustings are fine, but like snow everywhere is bad.
The first snow's okay though. You know, you're like, oh, I could deal with this for 4 months.
Yeah. Yeah, and then it just, like, grates on you by the end of November. It'll be terrible. Hopefully it melts. Yeah. Usually it'll melt this time of year. This has been Weather Talk to start the podcast, so hell yeah.
Listen to a weather podcast.
Do they have weather podcasts?
I hope so. I'm going to find one.
Like the
anyway,
Weather Network
hello.
Pod?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Katie, of course, from Vice Sports and The Athletic and Raptors Republic and also her new basketball newsletter, Basketball Feelings. Subscribe to that. That's kind of the reason you're on today's show. The Raptors lost to the Pistons last night, and we could get analytical about it, but like, I don't know what there really is to say. The Raptors were ahead by like 19, and then in the fourth quarter, their offense became kind of shitty, and Kawhi Leonard kind of did a little bit too much or tried to do a little bit too much. They got away from what makes them very good. Pascal Siakam couldn't really guard Blake Griffin, and then some weird voodoo stuff at the end, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, came into play as the game drew closer, and the Raptors ended up losing. It's fine. They're 12-3. They have an 800 winning percentage. It's not that big a deal. If you really want me to dive into the loss more, you can please tweet at me, and maybe I'll do a more in-depth analytical podcast on what happened, but that's not really what matters with this game, because the storyline going in and coming out is Dwayne freaking Casey, who came back, made his return, and had a triumphant win in his first game. It was really cool to see him get that win and just sort of mobbed by his team. And it was very heartening, I think, to see the Pistons players really seem to embrace the idea of trying to win for Dwayne. Katie, you watched this game, and you have teased to me in our DMs leading up to this that you're actually happy with the outcome. Can you please describe why?
Yeah, I'm thrilled with the outcome. I mean, I would have been thrilled either way. I wanted to win that game. I thought for sure we would be. I wanted to go put a face mask on. I came back. We were losing terribly. But I mean, at the end of the day, yeah, I'm happy for Casey, and I'm happy for him mostly because one, the Pistons haven't been doing so great so far this season. Mm-hmm. Two, it's like been a month since the season started.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say this game is like inconsequential, but if you're gonna let someone have one, like this is the one to let them have.
Oh yeah, like I could not possibly care less about a November 14th loss. It just doesn't matter to me. And that, like, I know people were upset about like how the game finished and the way they played. I don't have the energy to care that much about that kind of stuff. And maybe it's my job to care about that stuff. I host a daily podcast on the team, but like, considering who the opponent was, like, if this was against, like, the dastardly Celtics or something, then yeah, maybe I'd be a little bit more inclined to break down what happened and be upset about it. But ultimately, I think I'm kind of happy with what happened, too. It was really cool to see Dwayne have that reaction. He got the really great ovation as well in the cool video, and I thought that was really nice and kind of lived up to what Masai Ujiri promised in the offseason after he both fired Dwayne Casey and traded DeMar DeRozan, that he was going to honor those two extensively and make sure they were, you know, well beyond the time he's even with the team. So that's good, and that all got taken care of. My biggest question, Dwayne's outfit. He was going with the open collar, looked pretty suave. Do you think Dwayne was going for the equivalent of someone going to a party where they know their ex is going to be there and they're trying to dress to the nines to make them impressed and or jealous?
100%. Okay. I also noticed that his suit is much slimmer.
Yeah, he got tailored in a little bit, yeah.
And for here, he looks good. He doesn't seem to look as haggard as he did toward the end of his time with the Raptors. I think it's like he's doing well in Detroit. I don't know. I think ultimately it's just sort of, isn't it everybody's fantasy to, when you get fired from a job, to go back to the job at some point? Or, I mean, I guess it wouldn't work out to be all of our fantasies that we could win against the team that fired us, yeah. Basketball team specifically, and have someone do crazy last second shot to win the game for us. But again, it's just like, if you get canned, I feel like that's the kind of revenge that you want. So again, that's why I was pretty happy for him.
Yeah, and I think maybe there's a bit of animosity you can sense coming into the game and just around Dwayne talking about the team. Like, he had the little quote where he's like, yeah, I've been watching them this year. They're not really running anything different than what we ran. And just kind of the little, yeah, which is kind of the self-owned.
I don't think, I think the summer was a little bit of a mess. I think he, if all he's going to get to be honored, like Masai said, is a montage, that's not great. So I think, the team getting the win for him,
yeah,
is pretty good. I think that he could be a bit salty if he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see this interview. Someone told me about it today, but that what Blake Griffin said after the game.
What did he say?
He said something just won for our coach. Happy to win for him. We really appreciate him as a coach. I don't know. He basically was just like, we really appreciate him and we know Toronto did it or something like that.
Oh, man.
Which I feel like, okay, Blake, that's a bit dramatic. When you get to that point, you don't need to do that for him. You already won the game,
I'm with it. I'm cool with it. Blake had a big game, too. He can talk all he wants. And honestly, it's really heartening to see how quickly the Pistons players have glommed onto Casey and appreciate him. So that's heartening to me, really. Yeah, you mentioned the offseason and the summer and sort of it being a bit of a mess. Ultimately, I think, and I'm sure you would agree with this as well, the team's probably better off for it as a winning entity, but there was a little bit of soul that was sucked out of it because it was a very ghoulish summer, and that's the kind of stuff you have to do. And Masai, if there's one thing that kind of gives me solace, it's I don't think he made all these decisions easily. I think it kind of ripped him apart to do these things, and I wouldn't be shocked if whenever he eventually moves on from being a GM, if he looks back on this summer as one of the reasons why. Obviously he's got his charity, commitments and stuff, and he wants to be more involved in that, I'm sure, in 5-10 years time. But I do think for him the personal side of things really mattered, and I don't think he traded DeMar and got rid of Dwayne, without a lot of thought and sort of going back and forth with it in his mind. So that's the decision he has to make. But yeah, there was a soullessness to what they did. So my question to you is, do you think the Raptors deserved the loss that they got on Wednesday night? Did they need this loss almost to settle the karmic score? And is it better that it got out of the way before a more crucial juncture of the season?
No, I mean, I don't think they deserved it. I think it was a good timing. I think it was a wacky game at the end. Mm-hmm. The ball bouncing off Kawhi's foot. There were some instances where I guess you could be oh, that's karma at play, but it just No, I don't think they deserve to lose. Because, again, if they won, I would have been equally as stoked, but we wouldn't be talking about this on your podcast.
Yeah. This ended up being a very perfect day to have the basketball feelings Dean on the podcast. So
I guess, like, to your point before, what you were saying, like, is this going to be – will this past summer be, like, the one that, I don't know, Masai ever looks back on and regrets or something? I think it's really going to hinge on what happens this year, right?
Yeah.
I don't – like, again, you know, my feelings on Nurse are not, they're still not like 100%, like, I'm still not 100% confident in him. And I think last night was like more of an indicator why.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think, like, you know, you're playing the guy who coached this team for 7 years, like, you might want to try and switch it up a little bit instead of relying just heavily on the fact that you think, like, Leonard's gonna go out there and bring you the win. Like,
yeah.
The last games, like, haven't been that fun to watch. Like, they've been a bit messy.
Yeah.
And I know, like, there's guys that are hurt, and I think, like, when shots don't fall, like, I don't know what you can really do about that, but I hope it's, like, a little bit of a, okay, like, get it together now, or, like, maybe switch it up, Nurse.
Yeah, I think the last couple of games, and last night in particular, I mean, I'm pro the trades. I think Kawhi is very obviously ridiculously good at basketball and is going to help them win many, many games. But I do think last night was kind of an example of the kind of trade-off of your soul that you kind of do when you get a guy as good as Kawhi. Because, like, most of the time, he's going to take the leeway that he was given by Nick Nurse last night and the team and you know, power the team to a win, because he's very hard to stop and he's a very good defender and he's a superstar. Like, he's going to score a bunch of buckets if he really wants to. But there will be some nights where that doesn't go well. He has a rough night. He kicks the ball out a couple times. The turnovers aren't great. Stanley Johnson, for some reason, learned how to play basketball all of a sudden last night. And so on nights like that, if you are so sort of in the boat of the superstar carrying you all the way, then that's going to come around and bite you in the ass. And it's going to be the reason you lose the game, is because you have kind of abandoned your sort of philosophy that makes you what you are, which the Raptors have been for the last year and a bit, like this egalitarian team where everyone's scoring buckets and everyone's happy. And it's been mostly that with Kawhi this year. And I think Kawhi's done a really good job of fitting in while also looking for his spots. But I do think the last couple games, and in particular Wednesday against the Pistons, were kind of an example of it going a little bit too far. And I don't know how to sort of break that down and who to place blame on. Maybe it's just Kawhi trying to get himself back up to speed, which totally fine with that too. Like, if he feels like he needs a quarter where he needs to just kind of flex his muscles a bit, I'm cool with that. But that is kind of the deal with the devil you make when you have a superstar like that, is like, you kind of live and die with them, as opposed to being able to fall back on your more sort of, you know, your foundation and your philosophy that can kind of will you to a win. And maybe this is dumb, terrible analysis, but I think there's something to it.
Yeah, I think so. I don't blame last night on Kawhi at all. Like, when he bonked the ball off his foot, I was like, I don't think there's anyone in the league that is going to take that more personally than he will.
Yeah.
You know? So, again, I just, like, it was a weird last quarter. Like, there was a couple, like, wacky plays, and then, like, who knew that the last shot would just, like, fall like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah. I don't know. I like the win, too, because I think the Pistons are sort of, it's weird to say this, but they're, like, the perfect team for Dwayne Casey.
How so?
I just think, like, he's a grinder, and, like, that's a team that historically is kind of a grindy, like, hungry team that's always kind of reinventing themselves. And I don't know, like, again, we saw that he couldn't really reinvent himself here, but in terms of just his work ethic and, like, another place to fall, like, I think it was, like, you know, everything that happened, everybody's better off for it. So, yeah, like, I think you're taking the, if you're looking at the loss last night and taking it a little too hard, I think you just got to chill out.
Yeah, that's kind of the case with most regular season losses, if we're being honest.
It's not for everybody.
I know. Oh, trust me. I'm deeply embedded in Raptors internet. I know that's not the case. Before we get to a couple more things, I want to implore everybody to check out the Locked On NBA Net and Locked On NFL Net social feeds on both Twitter and Instagram. Twitter, it's really great. All the different hosts from across each network are being retweeted by the account. So if you don't want to go around and follow 60 people or 70 people or however many people host podcasts on the network, you can just follow this account and you will get most of their basketball-related tweets into one feed. And that's very handy. Keeps your follower numbers down and you're not too following numbers. I don't know. Whatever. It keeps it clean and it's kind of distills it all and cuts the fat and cuts out all my really dumb tweets about, I don't know, the dumb stuff I tweet about, and just has my basketball tweets right there. If that's the thing you're into, follow Locked On NBA Net. It's really great for like breaking news and stuff and during games. It's very handy. And then on Instagram, for those things, we're posting little snippets of the podcast, and you can go on and listen to the full things. Also very cool. And so make sure you're following Locked On NBA Net and Locked On NFL Net on Twitter and Instagram. All right, Katie. I guess one more thing I wanted to talk about is Blake Griffin. It was really cool to see Blake Griffin be as good as he was last night. He's kind of a slept on. Where are you on Blake Griffin as like within the pantheon of dudes you like to watch? Because I loved Blake Griffin, and I was one of the few people who didn't hate those Clippers teams, it feels like. And I always enjoyed watching Blake, and his injuries have been really kind of a bummer. And it was a bummer when he got traded last year because it was a very DeMar thing, right? Where he signed with the Clippers and was like, yeah, I'm going to be here forever. And then they traded him because it was better for the cap. The Raptors thing, at least they got Kawhi out of it. The Clippers didn't even get much. They got, like, I mean, they got Bobby, so that's fine. But they, so they did get a superstar, I guess, on a per-minute basis. But I don't know. I was just happy to see Blake be good last night. It's, again, not a loss I can be too upset about because some nice things happen at the same time.
Yeah, it's true. I think Blake is a little overrated.
Okay.
I guess I always have. He sort of lost me with the Kia dunk stunt.
That was dumb, for sure. And Rob DeMar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I've always held that piece pretty close to my heart. I like that Clippers team. I really liked Beverly, and I liked, I don't know, I don't really like CP3 too much, but I felt for him when he got sent to like the Pistons. But another thing, I don't know if you know about me, the Pistons are like my second favorite team.
I didn't know that. Why is that?
Pardon? Why?
Yeah.
Well, Rasheed Wallace for one.
Okay.
I don't know. Like,
that's fair. Yeah. You got me.
Yeah, they're like this like kind of scrappy, interesting personality team. Mm-hmm. You know, from the Bad Boys up to when Rasheed played with them. And like this, whatever's happening to them now, I don't really know, but again, that's why I think it's pretty sweet that Casey landed there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was cool to see Blake like having a game.
Yeah.
But I mean, he's probably the least emotionally invested in player that there is for me in the NBA.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Maybe.
I didn't expect that. Honestly, I figured Kawhi would be that person for you, but I guess obviously now that he's on the Raptors, it's a little different.
Kawhi's growing on me. You know what? Honestly, like when he has these fumbles, I feel like it's really humanizing him to me more and more. Like I felt so sad for him last night watching him do that, bounce the ball off his foot. I keep going back to it, but that was the moment I was like, man, stars, they're just like us.
It is nice that like he's not entirely a robot. And there was actually that good piece that came out on Bleacher Report yesterday. I think it was Rick Bucher, actually, which I didn't think I'd be plugging a Rick Bucher piece ever, but he got some good Kawhi stuff when they were in Sacramento. And seems like he's kind of fitting in with the team very nicely, and Kyle seems to have extremely high praise for him. Maybe a little sad, actually, that... did you read this piece? Did you see it at all?
No.
Okay. There was a little passage in there talking about how Kyle's, like, reticent to praise Kawhi too much in public because he doesn't want to like be mean to DeMar and diminish that.
Obviously.
Yeah, but he's like apparently behind closed doors. Like,
friends, no, yeah.
What's that?
You
sorry,
do that with your friends. Everybody does that with their friends.
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get it. But it seems like Kyle is very excited to be playing with Kawhi, I guess, behind closed doors, which is cool. And he also called him a fun guy in the piece. He was quoted as calling him a fun guy. So that's two people that agree Kawhi is a fun guy. That's cool.
Kawhi himself. Kyle Lowry.
Yes, Kyle, definitely the judge of fun.
Obligated. Yeah.
What was fun was Greg Monroe, our favorite hydrated boy. getting some run last night with Serge Ibaka sitting out. I guess this is twofold. We'll get to Monroe in a second, but one, what did you think of Ibaka's getup? Because he looked fantastic.
He looked great. I was actually, at one point I had a side-by-side photo of him and Boogie from the other night.
Yeah.
They had on like similar outfits.
Right.
Noticed that both of them were matching their suits to their team colors.
That's heartening. It's really weird that Boogie might be like the voice of reason, the piggy, if you will, of the Warriors now.
He's a pacifier.
So yeah, Serge looked great, but so did Greg Monroe, 17-9. He was like 8 of 10 from the field. What was your degree of emotion as Greg Monroe was going through his first real Raptors big game?
I just want to say I'm not surprised because, again, I believe I called this before the season even started.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, he just needed some time to settle in and he needed to get minutes. And, like, he's been getting them more and more every game. I think he needed some trust to get time, like, and figure out, like, where he best fit in the rotation. I'm not stoked that Ibaka's hurt or was out, but, like, I think it was a good opportunity. And, like, you know, whatever, however critical I am of Nurse, I'm glad that he took the chance and put him in. I think he should have been in a little bit later in the game when things started to go sideways. But I don't know. I think he's looking good. I love Greg.
Yeah, it turned around quick because remember when we did the podcast with James in the off season? He was until we discovered the water thing. It was like, oh, Greg Monroe is the most mundane dude in the world. But obviously,
I never said he was mundane because I had seen.
I may have said he was mundane.
Vacation, but if you listen to that podcast, you can listen to all of us essentially turn a corner in the 45 minutes or whatever that we were talking about him.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I went in expecting to talk about him for 10 minutes, and then it turned into something so much more.
Forever, I know. We could have another one. We could do another Greg Monroe. We should get James back and do another one.
Just reconvene the Greg Monroe truther faction, I suppose. Yeah.
Yes, I think so. But I did want to say, because he did, I think it was at halftime. They had him on at halftime for the interview. And that also made me so happy, because I feel like that, I was actually kind of surprised. You know, I thought they'd like pull DeLon or Siakam or something. But like, to ask him to do it, I think that's very cool and like a big step for him, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And they seem to be pretty psyched for him on the bench. Jamal McGlure was screaming moose at him after he subbed out for the last time. That was cool to see. I'm in on Greg Monroe. I'm not sure how much he's going to play. I'm not sure how much he should play considering how well Ibaka and Valanciunas have been playing when they're healthy. But like, this gives them the leeway to be careful with Ibaka and rest him, and same with JV. Like, they don't have to throw them out there every single game. You have Greg Monroe, who's very good. And as they commented last night, he's like the best third string center in the entire league. And I know he's not suitable for a lot of the more high leverage situations of games if teams are going to try to take advantage of him and his lack of defense. But yeah, I'm in with Greg Monroe playing a little bit more. I'm not sure I want to see him playing like next to Jonas, but like next to Ibaka, I could see that against certain teams. I wouldn't mind that at all.
He has the kindest voice.
He does have a kind voice, that's for sure. definitely a kinder voice than you would expect from somebody named Moose.
Why don't you want to see him playing next to JV?
Because I think that's weird and like kind of 1999.
No. Let's party like it's 1999, Sean.
Okay. All right. Let's see Greg Monroe with JV. I'm fine with that.
Let's see him on every lineup that we possibly can. That's my feeling.
Honestly, because you're probably right.
Potential. Pardon? Yeah,
you're probably right. Like, who gives a damn? It's the regular season that they're going to win 60-plus games in anyway without trying. So, like, why not fuck around and see what
works? You know what it is, Sean?
What's that?
The regular season.
So Jose Calderon had the assist last night on the game winner. I'm so mad. So Katie is off the podcast now. It's just me recording. All right. The regular season. Maybe I'll just call the podcast that.
I'm going to save that for my future Greg Monroe podcast.
Okay, fair enough. Greg Lewis. Mad. Jose Calderon's not mad. I'm not mad at Jose Calderon either for getting the assist on the game winner. What was your reaction to seeing that? I don't know. It's last night was a very nice former Raptor night. Terrence Ross hit the game winner over the Sixers in Jimmy Butler's debut. Ruined that. That was delightful because Jimmy Butler deserves nothing good after what he did to our sweet Canadian boy and Karl Anthony Towns. And so I'm glad Terrence Ross ruined that night. Jose Calderon had the big game. Dwayne won. Like, good night for former Raptors, I guess.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Jimmy Butler can do no wrong in my eyes, so I've got no sympathy for Karl Anthony Towns, just putting that out there.
Wow! You're talking to someone who is the captain of Team Towns and Wiggins, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
Jimmy Butler seems like a really shitty teammate. I'm sorry. He seems like a bad teammate.
I disagree. I think, like, he seems like someone who wants you to be good at your job, which I feel like when you care about your job, whatever it is, those are the kinds of colleagues that you want.
See, I would argue he seems like he is someone who has unrealistic expectations of how much someone should care about their job. And, like, he is never going to find the people who work hard as him or care as much as him because he's the only person who cares as much as Jimmy Butler does. And that is always going to... Like,
why doesn't LeBron, like, get this kind of pushback? Do you know what I mean? Also a guy who has, like, an insane work ethic.
I think LeBron gets plenty of pushback for being kind of a bad teammate. Like, that's kind of obvious at this point.
Is it because he's just outwardly more likable to most people, do you think, than Jimmy Butler?
I think it's that, and also he's just better, so he can kind of back it up. Like, what's Jimmy Butler ever won? He was on, like, depressing-ass Bulls teams and the Wolves. Like, I don't know. Jimmy Butler's peak achievement is what?
Wow.
I can't even, like, scoring 40 points on Damari Carroll in a half? Congratulations, Jimmy Butler.
You know what? This is his team, and he gets to play with my other eternal favorite, Amir Johnson, so I'm stoked.
Well, guess what? I think Ben Simmons is going to hate him so much because it seems like Jimmy doesn't really understand early 20-year-olds, and I think Embiid will be fine.
Who does?
Embiid,
I don't know.
He hated the Bulls. Like, he talked shit about Bobby Portis and Mirotic and all those guys, too. Like, he's done this before. I think Ben Simmons is going to ask for a trade within a year. Embiid will be fine, because Embiid is such, like, a force that I think he'll shut Jimmy up if anyone will. But I think there's going to be some stuff there with Simmons, because they kind of need this ball in their hands at the same time. And I stand, like, all the stuff Jimmy did with that practice and staging the ESPN interview, like, this is a bad teammate.
I disagree. You're okay. Never going to convince me.
All right. Fine.
That's okay, you know, agree to disagree.
Right. Back to Jose Calderon.
Yeah, back to Jose. I'm happy for him, you know. Mm-hmm. Like, he got a little shiny moment. I don't know. I like that team. I love Andre Drummond pretty heavily. He had a fantastic game.
He did get his ass dunked on by OG, though.
Yeah, that was cool to watch, though.
Yep. As is often when a Raptor dunks on Andre Drummond, because it happens quite frequently.
Yeah. I mean, that's a good, like, size juxtaposition, too.
Yeah.
So pretty poetic. I don't know. Like, it could have been anyone. I'm glad it was Jose Calderon. I'm glad it wasn't, like, Zaza.
Ugh. I love how he got booed, though. That's just good fanning by the Raptors fans.
Yeah. By any fan, I feel like that's a responsible response to Zaza.
that's very fair. Yeah, happy Jose did the thing. Happy Terrence Ross did the thing. And I'm ultimately happy Dwayne Casey got the win. It sucks that they lost two in a row, but I made this point. Remember last year, they lost two games in a row in the middle of a week against the Knicks and the Pacers. The Knicks game was the one where Tim Hardaway went for like 40, and they gave up like a 21-0 run in the third quarter. And it was weird, and it seemed like things were falling apart. And then they won 17 of their next 20. So, like, they're going to be fine. It's not a big deal that they lost. And ultimately, I'm glad Dwayne got one over his ex. I think it'll ultimately be good for a few reasons. And I'm going to write about this, actually, for Raptors HQ tomorrow, so I won't spoil it all. But I do think for, like, Nick Nurse, it's probably a nice little, you know, little jolt of cold water. Be like, hey, you know, you're not there yet. You're not totally better than Dwayne yet. You're not the best coach in Raptors history, not even close. Like, you got a lot of time. You started 12-2, great, but, like, there's still a lot of work to do, and you have to get better as a coach. I think that's going to be useful for him. And I just, I'm happy with how the game went ultimately. The Raptors kind of needed a loss, I think. A loss that kicks them in the ass a little bit.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. I think that's going to do it. Katie, where can people find your work?
I'm ready to promote myself.
Yes, please do.
As you know, I'm usually quite bad at it. as you graciously mentioned, please sign up for my newsletter, Basketball Feelings, if you have yet to. I can guarantee that after the news, the terrible news about Melo, mm-hmm. about an hour ago, mm-hmm. I'll probably have a part two to my Melo newsletter this week. Mm-hmm. Because I'm incensed by what's happening.
Yep.
And I've got a lot of feelings about it. I am going to be on a panel with some of your probably favorite Raptors writers and personalities on November 28th. A Hoops Talk, that's at the Rivoli, so you can come watch me just like talk about my feelings instead of listening. and what else? I'll have something at The Athletic pretty soon, probably within the next week. And then just, you know, just around in the internet, in the ether of the internet.
Fantastic. You'll be on this podcast soon, I'm sure, as well. You were on the premium podcast this past week, so make sure you're checking that out. Basketball Feelings is great. Your Melo post was extremely good, and I think the correct take on the Melo situation. So, yeah, make sure you're checking Katie's stuff out. If you are feeling like having a week where you have lots of live panels and podcasts to watch, the night before, I believe, you guys have that Hoop Talks on the 28th, I'm going to be hosting a live podcast from Odds Bar in Hamilton at 7 or 7.30 or so. The Raptors play the Memphis Grizzlies that night, so I'll do the podcast, you know, the 45 minutes or so leading up to that. And if you want to come out, come on. We'll be giving away, like, free nachos and stuff, and we'll be watching the game and having some drinks. And if you are in Hamilton, it's on 164 James Street South, so, like, kind of central. And if you're not from Hamilton and want to come in from, say, Toronto, the GO Bus leaves from Union Station, goes express to this GO Bus terminal that is, like, 10 steps from the bar. It's extremely close and very convenient. And you can hop on the bus and be home in 45 minutes at the end of the night if you want to. So, once again, Odds Bar on November 27th, 7 p.m., let's say. And I'll be doing a live podcast, talking Raptors and drinking some beers and watching the Raptors play the Grizzlies. So tune in for that or come visit that. I'll post that audio afterwards, but you can come see it live if you'd like. Also, the Patreon page, patreon.com/SeanWoodleyRaptors, of course, and there'll be another episode up by the end of the week. And Raptors HQ, my column, What Didn't Suck, which is what I'm doing after every Raptors loss this season, will be up Friday morning. I'll be talking about sort of a lot of what we talked about on today's podcast, just in written form, so stay tuned for that. And that's the stuff. Subscribe, rate, review, all that good stuff, and we'll be back again. I think Saturday morning, I've got like a triple shift I have to work tomorrow, so I don't really have time to do a podcast, but I'll do a podcast with Vivek on Saturday morning recapping the game against the Celtics, so stay tuned for that as well. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.